بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله ولو على أنفسكم أو الوالدين والأقربين، إن يكن غنيا أو فقيرا فالله أولى بهما، فلا تتبعوا الهوى أن تعدلوا، وإن تلووا أو تعرضوا فإن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الصلاة الصلاة وما ملكت أيمانكم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear respected elders, brothers and friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this world and designed it in a manner that is to the advantage, to the benefit of all humankind. Whether it is the sunrise, whether it is the sunset, whether it is using animals to your benefit, everything has been designed for your advantage, to your benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this ecosystem that He has created, has also set certain rules in place, certain principles in place. In the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, نَرْفَعُ دَرَجَاتٍ مَّن نَشَاءُ, that we have given status to some over others. So, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made everyone rich, or had made everyone poor, or had given everyone equal status in this world, then this world will come to a stop, it will come to a standstill. So, the status of each person will vary from the other. One will always be richer than the other. One will always be poorer than the other. One will always have authority over another. That is the divine system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But remember, وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above all. He is above all in status and in rank. So no one can say, you know what, I am rich, I am the richest person. There's always someone better than you, in whatever aspect it may be. This is the divine system of Allah. In regards to livelihood, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ, do they think that they distribute the livelihood of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah? Allah answers that and negates the fact that no one can solely say that I am the one that has earned these riches. I am the one that has earned whatever I've got in my life. I'm the only one, and through my efforts only I have achieved it. Allah negates that by saying, نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, we have distributed this livelihood in this world, and we have given status to some over the other. And then he mentions the reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the reason why. لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًا, so that one may always be in the service of another. That is the divine system. If that's not the case and everyone was of equal status, there will be corruption and confusion in this world. So, that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this ecosystem in this way. Now, whatever level you may be on, whatever status you may be on, there are certain rules and principles that are applicable to you. The Quran must be followed, the Sunnah must be followed in every aspect, in every level, in every sphere of a person's life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ, do you accept some of the book and negate and deny other parts of the book? In other words, are you selectively following the Quran and its laws and ignoring the others? So a person may be punctual on his 5 daily salah. A person may discharge his zakat annually, perform umrah once a year, hajj once a year. But when it comes to business dealings, when it comes to him taking out an interest-bearing loan, he says, you know what, the business is not doing well, we need to take a loan. And then he looks at un-Islamic, non-Sharia compliant options of taking out a loan, which then accrues interest, which then involves him being in interest. So when it comes to those type of dealings, turn back to the Quran. Do not select certain rules of the Quran. Do not be a selective believer or a selective follower. Embrace the Quran wholeheartedly. In matters of inheritance, a man may be put in a position where, in terms of legal law, he may be getting more from the estate. Whereas in terms of Islamic law, he may be getting a lower amount, a lower percentage. That is where the challenge is. When we accept the Quran, we accept the Quran entirely, wholeheartedly. So do not be a selective believer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a warning that if you are selective in what you follow, if you are selective in what you follow, then the punishment is twofold. فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. The first punishment is disgrace in this world. Disgrace in this world. And one of the many reasons we need to introspect and determine why we as a Muslim ummah do not enjoy that honor and respect that the Muslims enjoyed in the past. If we follow the Quran wholeheartedly and without being selective, then Allah will give us that honor in this world. But if we are selective, we will suffer disgrace in this world. And the second part of it, وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ. On the day of Qiyamah, there will be a severe punishment. So that is the repercussion of following the deen selectively. Now, the Quran Kareem guides us in terms of social matters. How should we be dealing with each other when it comes to social matters? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. He gives an instruction and he says, worship him, do not commit shirk, and be kind to your parents. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions others, family members, etc. And one of the people that you must be kind to, وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. Those that are in your service, those that are under your authority. The instruction is what? To be kind to them. That is the first thing. So, if you look in the life of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the entire Quran Kareem was revealed over 23 years. So many thousands of ahadith revealed. But his last words will shake you and will stay in your mind. So he could have given advice to, you know, discharge your zakat correctly on his deathbed. He could have said, you know, perform hajj in your lifetime, once in your lifetime. But what were the last words he said before he left this world? You know, when a person signs a will, then the ulama encourage him to write a wasiyah, a bequest. Bequest for voluntary purposes, etc. And one type of bequest he is advised to write down and record in his will is advices to his family members. Why? Because when a person passes away, the hearts are soft, the hearts are receptive. And the advice that you give your family at that point in time will be taken to heart. You may have given them advice your entire life, they may have forgotten it, but the advice that you give them when you pass away is something that will stay with them for the rest of their lives. So advices such as keep staying on the straight path, performing salah on time, studying deen, remaining on deen, etc. These are the types of advices you give and you keep it with your will. The last advice, one of the last advices Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives is what? As-salah, as-salah. Protect your salah, safeguard your salah. And second to that, what he says, wama malakat aymanukum. Protect the rights of those that are in your care, those that are in your employment. That was the last, one of the last advices he gives this ummah after salah. Those that are in your care, your employment, fulfill their rights. Do not abuse their rights. So, first thing, kindness. Kindness in what? In words. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. When you speak to people, speak kindly, do not be harsh, do not be rude. That is not the temperament of the Quran, that is not the temperament of the Sharia. If you look in the incident of Yusuf alayhi salam. When Yusuf alayhi salam was put in the well by his brothers, thereafter he was put in prison, and after a while he became the king of the time. He was obviously oppressed by being put in the well, but then Allah gave him status and Allah made him the king of the time. So after a while, his parents and his brothers had to come to him because of hunger, because of starvation, they were in need. So they come to him, and look at the first words that Yusuf alayhi salam expresses to them. They enter his court, they come into his presence, and he says what? La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. You know what? Whatever happened between us, it's forgiven. يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Allah will forgive you, وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. He's the most merciful. First thing, forgiveness. What happened to him? He was oppressed. He was put in the well for a while, and then he was taken out. Then what he does, he gives his father, he gives his parents VIP treatment. And then he explains and he gives Kar Guzari a report to his father that, you know what, this is the interpretation of the dream that I asked you about a long time ago. Then he goes further and he says, وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ. He said, Allah has been merciful upon me by taking me out of prison. The Mufassirun, the commentators explain, look at the akhlaq and the character of Yusuf alayhi salam. He was put in the well by his brothers, but he left out, he did not mention the incident of the well. He left it out completely. And he mentioned only the incident of the prison. Why? Because when he forgave, he forgot. When he forgave, he forgot. That is why when he was giving a report in a Karguzari to his father, he left it out totally. Second, he explains ihsan. Now he could have told his parents and his brothers that, listen, Allah has been merciful upon y'all, that y'all came to me. He could have said it that way, but that would have been him boasting and being proud. He turned it the other way around, and he said that Allah has been kind to me, that he brought y'all to me. وَجَاءَ بِكُم مِّنَ الْبَدْءِ مِن بَعْدِ أَن نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانِ بَيْنَ Between them, Allah subhanahu, he says that Allah brought y'all from the jungle, and then he says that Allah subhanahu, he says that Shaitan instilled within us, and he doesn't blame his brothers fully. He says that in Shaitan instilled this fitna between us. He doesn't say, you know what, full blame on the brothers for what they did. He also takes the responsibility. That is the akhlaq of the Anbiya alayhim wasalam, and this is what the Quran is teaching us. When we forgive, forget. So many times we have disputes with our employees. We have disputes with family members. There's a meeting. Lots of meetings that take place. You make maaf, you make salam, and you walk away. But then 2 years down the line, 3 years down the line, when there's another inheritance issue, when there's another family matter, we go back 3 years and we bring back into light on the table what we already forgave for. That is not the akhlaq of a Muslim. When you forgive, you totally forget. Even amongst your wives, amongst your children, they've done something wrong. There's no need to taunt them over and over again for something that they have done and for something that you have forgave them for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the manner in which he dealt with people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. It is with the mercy of Allah that you are kind, you are compassionate. Had you not been like that, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Had you been harsh towards them, they would have run away from you. But you are kind because of the mercy of Allah. So the first standard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set for us when we deal with people, or these are sahaba, they are following Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but remember every person is a shepherd. كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْئُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَتِهِ. You are responsible for your flock. So how do you deal with a person? First thing, do not be harsh, be kind. Second thing, فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. If they make a mistake, if they err, then forgive them. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ, and seek forgiveness on their behalf. How many times our employees make mistakes? They err in business, they err in an organization. How many times do we forgive them? And how many times do we ask forgiveness on their behalf? It may be a sin. It may be something that they have done wrong and violated the commandments of Allah. How many times we sat and made dua for our own employees for their betterment? This is the standard. وَشَاوِرُهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. And they make mashwara with them, consult with them. So, Islam, Quran does not endorse this temperament of simply hiring and firing. It does not endorse it. Where do we understand it from? We understand it from this verse. A standard has been set. Make mashwara, consult. And remember, mashwara is not one-sided. Mashwara is two-sided. It's between the people. وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. That is how you make mashwara. This idea of having a mashwara where the outcome is already predetermined, it's just been done for the sake of mashwara, that is not mashwara. Because you have already walked in that mashwara with the mindset that you are not going to change your position despite whatever everyone says. That is not mashwara. We find in the life of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on many occasions he made mashwara with sahaba. Some occasions he maintained his position, other occasions he changed his position after making mashwara. So that is mashwara. So always consult with those around you, those that are below you. When it comes to the language that we use, do not be abusive to those that are below you, be it your own family members, be it your employees. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that when a person is abusive, what happens? You may be reading your salah, you're doing your zakat, etc. Your a'mal, your good actions are transferred from your account to the person that you are abusing. So you may have full reward for the day. You've done everything properly with all its adab and etiquettes. But then you abuse a person verbally or even physically, transfers from your account to that person's account. When you left at a zero balance, a negative balance, then what happens? That person's sins are now transferred to your account. And then eventually it leads you to the fire of Jahannam. So you are at a disadvantage when you do not use correct language or you're abusive to a person. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu, he served Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not for 1 year, not for 2 years, not for 3 years. He served Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. 10 years. And what is his claim? He says, not once did Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, oof to me. Not once did he express any form of frustration towards me. And not once did he reprimand me, why did you do this, why you didn't do this. 10 years he served Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He ate with him, he did everything with him, he served him. But that was the akhlaq of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is what Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us. When you need to speak about an issue, take that employee aside in private, speak about it, discuss it and address it. There's no need to be abusive in the business place, in the marketplace. The person that is working for you, he is your brother in Islam, he is not your servant. As we understand from the hadith, what does Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teach us? On one occasion, some sahaba were walking, they passed by Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu. And Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu was doing some work, he was dressed in his garments, but his slave was dressed in a robe, a full robe. In other words, more elegant clothing than Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu. So they ask, you know, what's this? You the employer, he's the employee, he's under your care. What's happening here? So he says that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that those that work for you, they are your brothers. They are your brothers. Feed them from what you eat, clothe them from what you wear. So whatever you eat, give to the person. We're not talking about leftover food that you wouldn't eat. We're talking about food that you normally eat, you give that to the people that work with you. Something that you wouldn't eat, you wouldn't wear, don't give it to that person. Treat them like your brothers, like how you treat your brothers. And then he further states that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that do not overburden them with work. Should you do that, then help them and assist them in that work. So you may be the boss, you may be the manager, you may be the employer. If you've assigned something to that employee which he cannot handle and cannot manage, then get involved and help him and assist him, or assign someone to help him and assist him. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't burden someone with some work, why are you burdening him with work that he cannot manage? That is against the mizaj and the temperament of the shariat. On one occasion, a sahabi asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know what, I've got employees, they work for me. I've got servants, they work for me. How many times should I forgive them? One time, two times, three times? What does Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He says, 70 times a day. 70 times a day. If you calculate it by 30 days, that is over 2,000 times a month. Calculated by 12 months in a year, over 25,000 times a year. That is what Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us. Forgive a person. In other words, don't hire and fire. If you need someone and you need to let them go, sit, make mashwara. Discuss what is the best way forward for you, for your company, for the employee. This mizaj of hiring and firing is not the mizaj of the shariat. So, 70 times a day. If you look in the Quran Kareem speaks about employment contracts. Unfortunately, we find many people are employed, but without contracts, without giving them rights to hold on to. The contract that the Quran speaks about, one of the contracts that the Quran speaks about is the contract between Musa alayhi salam and Shu'aib alayhi salam. He says that, you know what, I intend getting you married to one of my daughters, and the condition is what? The condition is that you serve me for 8 years. This is, remember, in the shariat of Musa alayhi salam, not in our shariat. You cannot have a condition tied to another condition that would invalidate the contract. But in his shariat, in his deen, that was allowed, that was permitted. So what was the condition? You work for me, you marry my daughter, you work for me 8 years, that's the condition. He accepts that condition and he, you know, completes the time. He even says that, you know what, it's on me to finish this extra 2 years. So the Quran teaches us what? Be very clear. Be very explicit when it comes to your contracts. Unfortunately, today when we look at contracts, majority of the time is either in favor of the employer or it's in favor of the landlord. Very little consideration is given to the tenant, to the employee. It needs to be explicit. We need to consider certain aspects that affect our deen. For instance, if you have Muslim employees, the time of salah included in the contract. When it comes to them taking leave, include a process for that in the contract. When it comes to your employee needing to go for hajj, include that in the contract. If you have employees that are females that are forced to work, include the period of iddah in the contract should she get divorced, should her husband pass away, whatever the case may be. Consider all these angles so that you do not overstep the rights of a believer. Because if you do that, you are oppressing that person, and the oppressor's dua is never rejected. I will conclude with the last verse of the Quran Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kunu qawwamina bil qisti shuhada'a lillah. Allah tells us that remain firm, remain just. Even if it be against your own selves. So, a person may have a business, his son is employed in the business, other employees are employed in the business, but the day his son comes late to work, he doesn't reprimand him. But when another employee comes one day late to work, then he reprimands him. Where's the justice? Where's the fairness? قُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَىٰ. Even if it's against yourself, even if it be against other family members, do not be biased. That is what the Quran Kareem is telling us. فَلَا تَتَّبِعُ الْهَوَىٰ أَن تَعْدِلُوا. Do not follow your nafs, do not follow your desires, because then you would deviate. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the understanding of the rights of others, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of others and not to abuse the rights of others. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. InshaAllah there will be a nikah taking place and then we'll continue thereafter.
Representative of the bride can come forward. Mom Hassan. And witnesses of the two is Jameel and Zahid Abdi. So Hassan Khan, have you taken permission from Nasiha to be her representative for this nikah to take place in the presence of Muhammad Jameel Gauss and Muhammad Zahid Arbi? You have. You give me permission to conduct the nikah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصهما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا ونسأل الله تعالى أن يجعلنا ممن يطيعه ويطيع رسوله ويتبع رضوانه ويجتنب سخطه فإنما نحن به وله وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم النكاح من سنتي وقال فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Hassan Khan has taken permission from Nasiha Khan to be her representative for this nikah, and he thereby hands over his daughter Nasiha Khan to Muhammad Sidat in the presence of everyone that is here, and the mahar will be jewelry to the value of 32,000 rand. After the wakil, the representative, has handed his daughter over to you, Muhammad, do you accept her? You can say, Nakahtuha, Waqabiltuha, Watazawajtuha. Barakallahu lakuma wa baraka alaykuma wa jama'a baynakuma fi khayr. You just make a small dua and you continue, inshaAllah. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى أهل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم أنت أحق من عبد وأحق من ذكر وأنصر من ابتغي وأجود من سئل وأوسع من أعطى اللهم أنت الملك لا شريك لك والفرد لا ند لك كل شيء هالك إلا وجهك لن تطاع إلا بإذنك ولن تعصى إلا بعلمك تطاع فتشكر وتعصى فتغفر أقرب شهيد وأدنى حفيظ حلت دون النفوس وأخذت بالنواصي وكتبت الآثار ونسخت الآجال القلوب لك مفضية والسر عندك علانية الحلال ما أحللت والحرام ما حرمت والدين ما شرعت والأمر ما قضيت نسألك بنور وجهك الذي أشرقت له السماوات سبع والأرض أن تقيلنا وتجيب دعاءنا في هذا الوقت المبارك يا رب العالمين اللهم بارك لهما وبارك عليهما واجمع بينهما في خير اللهم اجعل بينهما ألفة ومودة ورحمة اللهم اجمع بين العائلتين بخير يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعل هذا زواجا مباركا واحفظهما من النفاق والشقاق وسوء الأخلاق اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين